Blog Talk Radio.
WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon-coming King awaits. All right, Bride, Mega Revival, Making America Godly Again, is hosting a 2017 National Christian March on September 9th. That's right, it is time, Bride, for us to stand up and declare that this is a Christian nation. We are taking our country back from the enemy. We are marching across this land, blowing the shofars, sounding the alarm. The clarion call has been released from heaven, and the bride is coming out. Come on, bride, put your boots on. Let's go. Find out more at www.megarevival.com. Come on, bride, it's time to march for Jesus. Let's prepare for war. Hello, bride. Good afternoon. This is your host today, Dr. June Knight, and guess where I'm at? I am in Houston, Texas. Yay! Listen, I am in Houston, Texas. I am still on the Mega Revival Tour, although I finished the tour in Washington, D.C. last week. I am preparing for the National March in just 1 month, marching across our nation, blowing the shofar, declaring in the atmosphere, praying, and partnering with other army members, Gideon's Army of 300, declaring into the atmosphere, this is a Christian nation. We are putting our foot down, shutting the mouth of the enemy, and taking control, in the spirit, of course, in our nation. Look, the government has given us a stamp of approval. We have favor in Washington, D.C. to do this. So I encourage you, check it out at megarevival.com. We just finished the summer prayer initiative, praying for every state in the United States, and it was called the 50 Days Ablaze. Check that out, all the states, all the prayers, the facts about the states at watbradio.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter at WATB Radio and Mega Revival. Don't forget, the mega for us means making America godly again. All right, look, we have got a very special guest today, Pastor Marvin Swanson, who is from Canada, but a missionary in Colombia, South America. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very, very good. Praise God, and it's good to get to know you a little bit there, June. And I want to thank you for inviting me to be on your program this afternoon. Just out of time, you know, you're talking about intercession for the United States. And I have a prayer partners in Canada, and we've been praying for the President of the United States for more than 1 year.
Wow.
Every day. We haven't missed a single day. And, you know, even though I'm a Canadian and I'm living in Colombia, God has so put this on my heart. I've never been more interested in a political campaign than I have in the United States. And it's just like God, you know, has been really showing us that if the United States falls, we're all going down with it. And that this is critical time, you know, and God is calling for intercessory prayer warriors. And I'm just really, really happy to connect with you, June. I think this is it's really amazing. It's God's timing.
It is. It is a God, a divine appointment. And let me tell y'all, Brad, how I met this man. Most of my people that I interview on radio or TV are through connections that people connect me with other people. They're like, oh, my God, you've got to interview this minister. You have to meet this minister, that type of deal. But this was a very special assignment from God because when I just finished the Mega Revival Tour, which was driving the 36 states, 18,000 miles, praying around the border for revival and to secure the borders for what God is about, what's about to hit America. So during this time, I discovered a lot of things about our country. Now, I'm telling you, Bride, it's troubling as a minister and as a lover of my country. You know, it's very disturbing. So one day I was looking on YouTube about some things, and I found this guy, Pastor Marvin, and I started to listen to him. He didn't have very many viewers, but I was listening to him, and I was like, oh, my God. Now, what you don't know, Pastor Marvin, is that the Lord is using me to birth a Christian media in America. It's called WATV, which is We Are the Bride, WATV TV, and WATV Radio. And I've really been struggling for 2.5 years now trying to birth this, and it is preaching truth. The Lord told me, do not get the ones that are well known. Get the ones that are hidden. And so God has been divinely placing me with people, and now I've interviewed over 300. But as I'm interviewing these people, I'm noticing the Holy Spirit, this theme that's building. So the Lord told me 4 months ago before I left out on this tour of five, he said, I want you to write a book to President Trump, and I want you to tell him what you are hearing in America through all these interviews and everything that you do. So I did. I wrote this book, and I told him, and then the Lord gave me a word for him. And then I did that, and I made 200 pages where Americans can sign this book along this tour. So I did. I was having Americans sign it. And guess what the Lord did as a precious gift back to me? All the things that he told me, he confirmed when I went on the tour. Through very random people that God would strategically line me up with. So I want you to know that you are in the direct flow of heaven. And that as an American citizen, I'm really thankful for you and your ministry being watchmen on the wall over our country. Because, I take it very serious what you're doing. And I really honor you for that. I have other countries asking me, please come to our country and do over here what you're doing in the United States. And this is what I tell them, Pastor. I say, the Lord told me that just as President Trump is focusing on America first, that God wants to focus his attention for my ministry on America right now, because once God does what he's about to do, which is bringing judgment to the church first, once he does what he's going to do, America will be greater for a time period, greater than she's ever been, and it will affect the entire planet. So you're right. Once we're healed, then everyone will reap the benefits. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen,
so,
June.
Let's start. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I lost you just for a minute there. June, what you're saying, it's just right on. And this is what, you know, God's been showing me as well. And this whole area of intercession, the most powerful thing that we can do for the United States and the nations is simply answer the call of God to rise up in prayer and intercession and begin to pray the word of God. This is the most powerful weapon we have. And we, you know, we war against flesh and blood. And I was listening to your a little bit of your intro there, And we know that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of hell and darkness. And what
yes.
we see being manifest in the natural, this is really what's happening in the spiritual realm. And we have
yes.
that authority in the name of Jesus. And when we connect together as intercessory prayer teams, you know, across the nation and across the globe, that the
yes.
power of God is going to be released in such a way that I believe we're all going to stand back in awe when we see the harvest that God's about to bring in.
Yes, it's really amazing. Now, listen, Pastor, before we get into what you see coming to America or whatever, I want you to tell us about the man, Marvin. Now, you're a Canadian.
Okay.
Was you born in Canada?
Yes, I was, yep. In Western Canada. I was born, some of you might be familiar with parts of Canada. I was born in the Western Canada, the province of Alberta, near the city
yeah.
of Edmonton. And I know that Nashville has an NHL hockey team, so Edmonton comes and visits you once in a while. So so you might be able to connect that way. But that's the area that I'm from. I grew up on a farm. My father farmed with three of his brothers, and I was the only son, so I was kind of like, I call myself the family slave. But I don't say that in a bad way.
Right.
I say that in a good
Aww.
Way because I think that's a good education for anybody, is to grow up and have to work and learn what it means to actually, you know, get out there and do something and make
Aww.
An impact. So that's how I grew up on the farm. I didn't get saved until I was 33 years old, and it's not because I didn't have Christians around me. My praying grandmother, Mennonite on my mother's side of the family, and they were Lutheran on the father's side of the family, but some of those were born again and spirit-filled. But when I was a young guy growing up, that didn't mean much to me. I was, in my grandmother's life, I was Saul of Tarsus. And, you know,
really?
I caused her a lot of problems. Yeah, I caused her a lot of problems. But finally,
yeah.
at age 33, after going down all the wrong roads, the party animal and all that stuff, I finally
yeah.
came to a place where I said, if there's a Jesus in heaven, send somebody to see me. And, of course, God heard that prayer. Before that, I would never acknowledge Jesus, you know. But when I did that, I knew that I'd connected with God. You know, God answered the prayer. I won't give you all the details because it takes too long, but just to tell
yeah.
you that God answered that prayer in his own way. I accepted Christ when I was 33, and I began to read the Word of God. The man that witnessed to me gave me a New Testament, and he said, I'll give this to you if you promise to read it. And so
yeah.
I began to read this New Testament, and I had such a supernatural hunger for the Word of God that in the first five or six months, I read through that New Testament cover to cover probably half a dozen times. And I was still in a place where I didn't really, like if somebody asked me if I was saved, I didn't know. Like I didn't have that assurance, even though I'd started to go to church after, you know, a couple of months after that happened. I still didn't have that full assurance, but every time I came to Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it would say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, you know? And I began to reason that out, and I'd think, well, I think about my family, my relatives, I think about friends, I think about my neighbors, and I would think, well, I know who the Jews are, but I don't know who these Greeks are in the Bible.
Right.
But I'd reach it out and I'd say, you know, it has to mean my relatives. It has to mean my family. It has to mean everybody that I know. So if it means everybody that I know, it also has to mean me. But I was still at a place where I really couldn't accept that God would accept me. I didn't understand grace. And because of my past sinful life, I didn't know how God could accept me. And like I said, I didn't understand, you know, what grace was at that point. But the first Sunday of 1981, in a little Pentecostal church in northern Alberta, I was in church, and I was under really conviction of the Holy Spirit. And a woman got up and she began to prophesy. And at that, I was new to all of this. I still didn't really know what was going on, you know. And she began to prophesy. And I had been thinking that, about getting baptized in the spring. Because I thought there's no way that I'm going to get baptized in November in northern Alberta when there's ice in the water. There's no way I'm going to get baptized. So
yeah.
I was thinking spring, you know, in the warmer weather. And a woman got up. And she began to prophesy, and she said, you know, she said, today is the day of salvation, not next year, not next month, not next week, not even tomorrow. And it was so powerful. I thought everybody in the church knew it was me that she was talking to, you know, and I didn't really know what to do. So I thought, Lord, give me one more chance to publicly confess you. And God did. At the end of the service, the pastor asked if anybody had a need, and I just got up and I run right to the front of the church, and he asked me a question: can God do for you? And when I answered him, I believe that I was talking to God. I don't believe I was answering him, and I said, I have no further use for this body. Whatever God wants to use me for, here I am. I got no more plans for my life. And I didn't realize that what I was doing is I was surrendering. I was surrendering to Christ. And I didn't realize it until a few days later. But when I said those words, it's like all of heaven came down. I know now that it was the Holy Spirit, and confronted the demons that were in me, the alcohol, the party animal, and all the things that go along with that life. And I could literally feel the chains begin to break. I could feel chains beginning to break and fall off me, and I began to weep, and I cry. And as this was happening, the pastor's wife was playing this song from the Gaithers, "I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God," and the Holy Spirit, he just awakened me to the fact that this is what I was looking for my whole life. This was my family. And even though I didn't know many of the people in there very well at that time, I felt like I'd known them my whole life. I felt like I'd known them for eternity. And I thought, this is it. This is the family of God. And God showed me that the family of God is not a denomination. It's not a particular church, but it's the blood-washed, the redeemed of the Lord. And from that day since, I have been serving God. That doesn't mean that I have always been doing what I should have been doing, but I've always had a heart for God for the last 36 years, and done the work of evangelism and missionary work in different parts of the world, and here I am in Colombia now. one of the things that God showed me when I just a brand new Christian and just getting set free by the power of God. And oh, by the way, when I got set free that Sunday morning, alcohol, all the addictions I had in my life that time, they just went away. I went home from there, and I thought, you know what, I'm done. I'm done with alcohol. I'm done with partying. And I took some bottles, even some ones that hadn't been opened yet, and I took them up to my burning barrel outside. I lived on a small farm at the time, and I broke them. I said, that's it. I'm not going to give them away. I don't want anybody else to get addicted. It's going in the garbage, you know. And so that was the beginning of the transformation. And then shortly after that, God began to speak to me about going to communist countries and to the native population, the Indian populations of North America to start with. And it seems like the last 35 years, that's what I've been doing. I've ended up in places like Ukraine. I've been there many times to Ukraine, the former Soviet Union, and helped after the fall of the Berlin Wall. I helped to raise up some churches in the Odessa region there and helped to support them financially. And then, of course, the native people of North America. And here I am in Colombia, and I'm working with the Guambiano and the Paez Indians here. So it's just like that's the call of God, you know? So that's kind of a little bit of a capsule of, you know, some of the things that have happened. And, of course, in 35 or 36 years of serving God, there's many things that God does that we can talk about, but that's where it all started.
Well, I tell you what, that's an amazing story. I tell you what.
Well, you know, June, here's what I discovered. I think everybody that's been born again by the Holy Spirit has an amazing story to tell, you know. And I remember one time I was sharing my testimony at a full gospel businessman supper, and I had somebody come up after the ministry, and he said, I praise God for you. What a great testimony. He said, I don't have a good testimony like that. He said, I've been a Christian my whole life, and I don't have anything to share. I said, well, as far as I'm concerned, that's a better testimony than mine. That God is able to keep you ever since your childhood, that is a powerful testimony. And I said, you need to start sharing that with people about how God has kept you from the things that I had to get delivered from.
Exactly. Well, let me ask you this, Pastor. You talked about like how you got saved and how you surrendered your life to the Lord, but what did God do to how did you know you was called to be a missionary?
Well, in my case, you know, just shortly after I had that experience where I really got set free by the power of God, and literally I think I must have wept for 3 days. I'm not kidding. I couldn't stop crying. And it just seemed like every tear was another sin that went out the window. It was an incredible thing. You know, it was incredible. Yeah. And I was like, I felt like I was a man that had been in the desert for like 33 years, and I hadn't had a drink of water. And I couldn't get enough of the Word of God. I just couldn't get enough. I would wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd get on my knees, and I'd open my Bible and just start reading. Sometimes I would take the Bible to bed with me. And it's like it became the first love of my life, and I just devoured the Word of God. And, it was during that time that God began to give me some visions. He began to show me some things that there's no way that I could have possibly known it. Things that about the second coming of Christ, about heaven, about hell, and all these different things, and how Christ was going to return. He's not going to have to use the satellite system to reveal himself to the world. The Bible says every eye will see him, and when he comes, in the brightness of his glory. And, he revealed some things to me like that in vision, and dreams and visions. And that's what I knew.
Same way.
It was at that time that...
Go ahead.
It was at that time that God called me. I knew that I was called to go to, I just called it Russia. It was the former Soviet Union back in 1981. And the call of God was so incredibly powerful that I thought angels were going to come and pick me up that night and take me to the airport. I just couldn't believe it. It was so powerful. But, you know, the call of God, even though that was when the call, it would have been like probably early in 1982, but it wasn't until 1994 that I actually went. It was 12 years, and I began to realize that the call of God doesn't mean that you're going that day or that moment. There was a preparation time, and in my case, it took 12 years of God with hammer and chisel working on me so that I could be ready to go and do the things that he called me to do at that time. So it was very, very powerful. In the meantime, I went to, ministering on Indian reserves in, where I lived in that area. Many, many, many times I have a lot of friends with people there and had a lot of, really good ministry. But the bottom line is this: God loves people. And regardless of who he calls us to or where he calls us, I discovered that people are the same all over the world. It doesn't matter their ethnic background, their skin color, their gender, their age. People are people, and we all have the same basic needs. And Jesus knows how to meet them. He knows how to meet us. And that's why the gospel is so powerful. You know, he says, you know, he is anointed by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. And all over the world are the brokenhearted. And Jesus is the answer. Praise God.
Yes, he is. Okay, now, Pastor, we're going to switch back to America. Now, with you being from Canada, how did you have a burden for America? What happened?
Well, I've been to the United States, quite a few different times. I've been to, I was involved with a ministry called Christians for Israel back about, in the 97, 98, 99, 2000, for a few years there. And we were on a project called the Exobus Project, where we helped to bring 85,000 Soviet Union Jews back to Israel. It was a very unique ministry. And because of that ministry, I was invited to the United States several times, been to Washington, D.C., and I've been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. And if people that are listening to this call have never been to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, I really highly recommend it. It'll change your life. It'll give you a new perspective on what life is all about and the importance of the gospel. But, so God began to give me a heart for Americans. But more recently, I would say about a year, probably a year and a half ago, when things were starting to get heated up on the election and people didn't even really, I don't know if Donald Trump really knew that he was going to be, running as a candidate at that point. But that's when God began to speak to me. He woke me up in a dream one night, and he spoke to me, and he said, "I have anointed Donald Trump with the Cyrus anointing to restore the United States in the same way that the Cyrus of old was used by God to deliver the nation of Israel." He says, "I have anointed Donald Trump, and he will be a modern-day Cyrus to deliver the United States of America." And when I woke up out of that dream, I thought, there's no way. There's no way, I thought. Donald Trump? I thought, no way. And, but then God began to speak to me, and he said, Cyrus was not a Jew, He was a Gentile. And so he wasn't really in the faith, in the Jewish faith, but God used him, and he called him Cyrus, my anointed, in Isaiah chapter 45. And so as I began to, just pray into that, I really began to get a heart, and I really believe that God really was anointing him to be a deliverer, a type of a deliverer for the United States, and help to bring it back on its, its biblical foundation. And so I have a prayer partner in Edmonton, Alberta, that him and I, we pray together every morning, 7 days a week. We've been doing this for over 2.5 years now, and we've been praying into this for that length of time. And both of us, every morning, we got such a heart for the United States and for President Trump and what we believe God has called him to do, that it's actually stronger than praying for my own country. It's amazing. It really is.
That is amazing. When God revealed that he is a modern-day Cyrus, to people listening to this broadcast that may not understand that Bible story, can you tell us about it? What does it mean?
Yeah. Amen. And, the thing about it is that we need to understand is God knows the end from the beginning and the other way around. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all omniscient. He's all-knowing. He is El Shaddai, And, when God speaks his word, his prophetic word, it is going to come to pass. It absolutely is going to come to pass. There's nothing, I don't care how many demons in hell come against God's plan, cannot defeat the plan of God. And so this gives us confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, this gives us confidence. And I know, like for myself, you know, after God began to show me that, then I began to see other people from around the United States, and I think other nations as well, had the same revelation about this Cyrus anointing. And
yes,
so that was like confirmations.
Yes.
So, you know, so God, he, you know, he solidifies things, and he makes them real to us so that we can pray in faith and never mind what the news media is saying, never mind what anybody else is saying. What is the Spirit of God saying? That's what's important. And if we can discern the voice of God, and we can discern what God is saying, that's the revelation we need to go by, because that's the one that is going to prevail. And just like Jesus said, you know, concerning, you know, when he asked his disciples, you know, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, he said, you know what? You didn't receive that from flesh and blood, but the Father in heaven. That's the revelation. And that revelation that he says, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. It's against that rhema word, that revelation of God, the revelation of Christ, that Spirit-filled, anointed word of God that has come alive in your spirit. That is the rhema, and that's the word that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. The opposite, we're going to prevail against them. The gates of hell cannot prevail against that revelation that God brings into our spirits. And so that helps us to pray with confidence, with full assurance of faith, that we can become, and we can rise up and we can become those intercessory prayer warriors that God has called us to be.
Yeah. Now, when you say that you have this prayer network in Canada, how many people are we talking about? Like, is it a network or a church? Or
No, when we're talking about a prayer network, I've been doing this just with this one person for 2.5 years, my friend. His name is Claude Mandeville, and we've been doing this for 2.5 years together.
Yeah.
And then also I have another group that we call the Servant Leader Champions, and it varies in the numbers, but you know, anywhere from it just depends, because we record our, you know, our calls on that particular one Monday to Friday, and so other people listen in that aren't on the call when we're doing it. But there's some people from Canada and also from the United States that are on that call, and so we also have committed ourselves to pray into what God is saying. We go through the Book of Proverbs, one chapter every day. This is the pattern we've been following. And so, for example, today is the 2nd of August, and so we're in chapter 2. And so then what we do is we just share a little bit of what God has, you know, inspired for that day from that book, and then we pray into that. And along with praying into the United States in particular, we pray for the President of the United States, but it's all based on what God has been revealing to us from the Word of God. And so right now it's not a large prayer group, these groups that I'm talking about, but part of the strategy that God has just been giving me in the last, maybe the last week or so, is that now it's time to start connecting with other prayer groups that have this, that are like-minded. We're on the same page. And it was right exactly at this time that you contacted me on YouTube or on Facebook. You contacted me and said that you'd watched a couple of my videos and that you wanted to talk to me. And I thought, well, this has got to be an answer to prayer, you know? This has got to be an answer to exactly what God is showing me, and connecting with other prayer groups. And, you know, we all know the Word of God that says one can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. Well, how about taking one prayer group? I don't care how small it is.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Man.
Two or three people.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus says, there I am in their midst, right? So the numbers don't really, they're not that important. What is important is that we hear the voice of God and then we obey him.
Yes.
Praise God.
That is very true. Now, Brian, we've talked about this on the radio before, that numbers does not determine the anointing or mission. It's coming in agreement, and all you need is one other person. Now, Brad, look, I encourage you to check out his YouTube page. His name is Marvin Swanson, S-W-A-N-S-O-N. And I'm going to read you just a few of the titles on his YouTube page, because this will tell you the type of quality that you will receive watching this gentleman. He's very anointed. The newest one is Mobilizing God's Army in Prayer and Intercession, Part 4, Part 3, Part 2, and Part 1. Then Harlot Hillary, Her New World Order, Bed Partners, and Their Predictable Whatever. Mobilizing God's Army, Power of the Mastermind and the Threefold Cord. Wake up, Canada. Wake up, America. Wake up, Western world. Are leaders born or made? Beware of public opinion. Little Nero, George Soros, and his minions. Hey, I want to tell you, too, I am really proud of you that you understand the Illuminati. A lot of people, I heard you mention that on your program, and I was like, wow, thank you, Lord, that he understands that. Okay, here's another one. Swamp creatures identified and exposed. A wise king drains the swamp. Not the Russians, but the ruler over the kings of the earth. Treasured moments surrendered to Jesus. These are the days of Elijah. I mean, you could go down. These are amazing, Brad. You've got to check it out. Marvin Swanson on YouTube. Now, listen, when you talk about Wake Up Canada and Wake Up America, what do you mean, sir?
I mean that the church needs to wake up. And here's what I've been seeing, and I started to really see this after God began to speak to me about Donald Trump having that Cyrus anointing. And I thought, the church is asleep. The church is asleep. And so that's how we began to pray into that, that the church in America would wake up out of their spiritual lethargy. And this is what's happening. This is happening, and this is probably the greatest. It's amazing, and I told my prayer partner in Edmonton. I said, you know what, Claude? I said, we are living. You know, people say, I wish I could live in the Bible times. Well, guess what? We are living in the Bible times, and I said, Claude, you know, we're living in the most historical times probably since creation. I said, you know, we think about Moses and bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. I said, how about bringing a nation that's got 350 million people, how about bringing them out of secular humanism and atheism and Satanism? How about bringing how about that? I said, these are amazing times.
Yes, it is amazing. Now, when you say, I would love to know how a foreigner, you know, like we would consider you a foreigner, how in the world do you know that the church is asleep? Because I see it. I'm sure other listeners see it. But how would you see it being outside of America?
Exactly the same, if not worse. I mean, you know, like I said, like I'm a Canadian citizen, and I can tell you the church is the reason that we have the same kind of a government in Canada right now as you did have before the last election is because the church is asleep. It's asleep. You look at Western Europe. Why is Western Europe in shambles and inviting a spirit of Antichrist through Islam? Why are they inviting them in there unvetted? It's like open borders. It's because the church fell asleep. And I believe that we have the answer. We know that we have the answer. And if we will wake up, if the church of Jesus Christ will wake up, Satan cannot prevail against that mighty, powerful, spirit-filled church that rises up in intercessory warfare. The gates of hell cannot prevail.
Yeah.
And so this is my heart, June. I tell you, June.
I know it is. It's another word that I like to use, the way to describe the church in America is impotent. And the reason I say that is like when I went out from Washington, D.C., and I started proclaiming it from the rooftops, I was standing in front of the White House actually doing a live broadcast, and I had to the left was about 70 Muslims, and they were protesting against the president, And then, now this was right after his election. And then right over here to the right, or right after his inauguration, to the right was people calling him a fascist and all this. So I was surrounded by these haters. So I had the camera up, and it had my face and the White House in the background. And I was like, go, Christians, come on now. This is our time. We're coming out of the closet. We're marching across this nation. This is a Christian nation, you know, and proclaiming all this stuff. So when I was finished, it was like I could literally feel the demons surround me like a pack of wolves. I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, so then start traveling through the nation. It really is like they're asleep. Like they don't know. I think it's where they have the spirit of Antichrist has tried to muzzle the church to shut her up, because on our Facebook in America, whenever we try to say something against sin, okay, immediately, not just the world, but I'm talking church members, immediately start dogging and saying you're judging. So they try to shut you up where you cannot even talk about holiness. You can't talk about purity. You can't talk about standing up for what's right, because it should be, here's a good example. I'm driving through Maine, and I come across a church, a beautiful white church that's homosexual. And so I get out and go live, and I start saying, shut it down in our country in Jesus' name. I tear down this idol in our country, and I'm speaking to this thing. So this girl at this red light rolls down her window and starts screaming and cussing me out, hollering, coexist. And that's basically the thinking of our country, you know, like what's okay for you is okay. Just don't mess with my corner. You see what I mean?
Yeah, the devil's doctrine of political correctness
has
shut them out of the church.
Yes.
And thank God for Donald Trump is all I got to say. Thank God that there's a man, one man in America and probably one man in the world that has the guts, that has the courage to stand up and say political correctness is out the window, it's down the toilet, we're not submitting to that doctrine anymore. Yeah,
so,
and you know, see, as Christians,
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so as Christians, you know, and I've been saying this to people for a long time, you know, we want to be biblically correct, never mind political correctness. Biblically correct, and of course, that is an assault on the enemy. That's an affront to the enemy. And so that's going to cause a reaction. But we have to remember who we are. We are children of the kingdom of God, and we have a new king. His name is Jesus.
Yes.
And we submit to him, his authority, and what he says is right, and not what secular humanists, atheists, and Satanists, and also in the religion realm, what Islam says is right. We submit to the word of God. And so this is what we need to do. And I really believe, June, that God really is raising up a remnant. I really do. And I am convinced that there isn't anywhere in the world, I don't care how dark it is, that God does not have a remnant. God always has a witness. Even in places like North Korea, you know, where you see it, the darkness that's in there in Muslim countries that execute Christians, that refuse to allow Christianity to be there, God is not without a witness. I believe that God has a witness even in those dark places. And this is what we need to do. I really believe as Christians, we need to pray that the righteous remnant is going to rise up, and they are going to begin to declare the kingdom of God, that same anointing of Elijah that was on John the Baptist, God is bringing on the church. And we need to rise up with that same boldness, that same courage, because we're not just pointing, you know, to the first coming of Christ. We're pointing to the second coming of Christ, and he's not coming as the sacrificial lamb of God to die another cruel death on a Roman cross. He's coming as the righteous judge, and the question is, are you ready?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Now, let me ask you, Pastor. when you say that he's coming as a righteous judge, are you saying like judgment is coming to America, right? Or the world.
I suppose you could say that, but the thing about it, not just America, upon the world. And, when I say he's coming as a right, and we know that. He's coming to judge those that have rejected him. And so that's not just on, you know, America or some country or some continent. It's on the world, you know.
Yes.
And those that have rejected the gospel. And you know, 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, it gives a reason why God is long-suffering, why he has not returned. It says, because he is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance and faith in God.
Yes.
That's the heart of God. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He takes no pleasure in destroying nations. No pleasure. But he's calling the nations in June. This is what I believe. I believe very strongly that right now the nations are being shaken. God is shaking the nations and saying, wake up. Wake up. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Because God wants the nations to repent. And we know nations are made up of people. So that includes us as individuals as well. But I believe that we're living in those days, June, where, you know, God is waking up the church. He's waking up the intercessors and to begin to pray the word of God like we've never prayed it before. Because I believe that God wants to save people. We know he does. That's why he came here. That's why he went to the cross. Yeah. He didn't come here for any other reason. He said, I did not come to destroy men, but to save them. And so that's always the heart of God. You know?
Right. Yeah. Now, when you say mobilizing God's army in prayer and intercession, are you talking about us coming together in unity, the intercessors across the planet, or what do you mean there?
I suppose I am. I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I'm not saying that I see everybody on the same, you know, globally or whatever, but that I want to be part. I want to be part of the great end time army that God is raising up, and I believe that he is raising up an army of intercessors, you know, and I want to be part of it. What all that means, how to put that into words, I don't know. I don't think I can explain it that way, but what I know is that I want to be part of it. That's all I know.
Right.
Praise God.
Well, let me ask you this, Pastor. So did you recognize that Hillary would have taken our country off of the cliff? Like, do you realize as a Canadian that, you know, this was our last chance? Did you see that as well?
Yeah, this is part of what, you know, the Holy Spirit began to show me back, you know, over a year ago now, probably just about a year and a half ago now. He began to show me that this was America's last chance. And if this is the last chance for the United States of America, this is the last chance for all of us. And that's what I really began to see. And it's like God gave me such a heart to pray for the United States. I couldn't believe it hardly, you know. I shouldn't say that I've never been interested in politics, because I have been. But I've never had this kind of an interest, let's put it that way, where it's just like almost obsessed with what was happening in the United States and praying into it and, you know, trying to catch the fake news, you know, from people who are actually telling the truth. And so this is where it was just the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say. It was just the Holy Spirit. And I really believe in my heart that had Donald Trump not risen up and answered the call of God, because I really believe that's what he did. He answered a call from God. If he had not have done that, I really believe that the United States was headed for destruction. And along with it, like I said, the rest of the nations, you could kiss them goodbye too. So I think what the Holy Spirit has done is he's given us, you might want to call it a reprieve or maybe a window of opportunity to pray into this and recognize that it's more than politics. You know, it's part of that. That's part of the answer. But the real answer is people have to get their hearts right with God, and that's our job. You know, and I like what you say in your program, making I just forget the exact words, but it's making something about God, and I just forget exactly the terminology, but I thought, wow, that's really good.
Making America.
Oh yeah, making America godly again. Yeah, that's it. Making America godly again. That's our job. Yeah. That is the description. And you know what, June? I love your heart. I really do. I love your heart.
I believe
that you have the heart of God. And I believe that God is going to use you in a very, very powerful way, a very significant way. And you know that, you know, the scripture, if we're faithful in those little places with the few, in those hard places, that's the proving ground. That's where God is, we're being tested. And God is preparing us for something much greater. And this is what I really sense with you, June, even though I don't know you very well, is that I sense that you've been in that kind of a place, and that God is training you, he's disciplining you, and he is preparing you for a great end-time ministry. And this whole area of television and radio and all these different, you know, electronic things that God's given us, that's my heart. I've been praying this way for, I think, almost my whole Christian life. Is, Lord, send out the word of God through every form of communication, radio, television, internet, satellite, video, the printed page. I also have books. I have books on Amazon as well, because that's something that God, you know, he gave me an opportunity. And then every form of transportation, boats and trains and airplanes and trucks and cars and horses and donkeys and mules and 2 feet that walk upon the mountains. How beautiful are they? And, you know, that's been my prayer for a long, long time. And June, I was reading your bio on your radio station there, and I thought, man, this woman's got exactly the same vision that I have, exactly. The only difference is you've been trained. You've been highly trained in this kind of communication, and I'm just really an amateur. I do my videos. I just use an iPad, an Apple iPad. I hang it on the wall, and away I go. Yeah. My studio is my outdoors here in Columbia, off the deck in my house. And
it's
so I have
beautiful.
All kinds of animal sounds, chickens and cows and motorcycles going by sometimes. But you know what? You know what? I don't care. I just want to get the word of God out. Praise God.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I would love to come to your country one day. I want to come over there, and I would love to minister with you and pray and do some broadcasts from over there. It would just be beautiful. I was admiring your outside, and I want to tell you about our listening audience. I was looking at our stats. I just want to say a moment thank you to all of the foreign countries. We have a huge growing audience overseas, especially in Europe. Let me go back to this page. Over in Australia, we had like 28% of our listening. You know, this was last month when we was doing a lot of our prayers, the 50 Days of Blaze. We had a huge listening audience. 28% was from Australia. But now those numbers are changing. The numbers are changing. It's now 75%. It used to be like 65% was in the United States, 28% was in Australia, and 2% in Europe, whatnot, you know. But now it's changed, and I want to show you what it is. It's pretty amazing. The listening audience over in America, I told you, has grown. So here it is, okay, in the United States is 75%. In the United Kingdom is 8.36%. Australia is 5%. Singapore is 1.58%, and South Africa, 2.99%. So I do want to say hello to all of you people over in the United Kingdom. I went to London when I was in grad school, and I loved it over there. But I do feel the same way with you, Pastor Marvin, that these are people that are catching on to this being We Are the Bride, that this is the truth coming out of our country. And these are people that are not, I say it like we have not tainted the gospel. The Lord, you're absolutely right in your word towards me, because the Lord has purified me and protected me. It started 4 years ago. He shut me off from the world. After I graduated with my master's degree and where I had studied in London and worked for a lawyer and all this, he shut me off, got me away from television, away from radio, away from all media for 3 years. And he had me serve ministers and be mentored by ministers. And so he taught me himself, basically, without the world's influence. So when I basically started looking at the world again, coming back into it, my eyes are like wide open. I can see the enemy a mile off on the media, where people that watch it all the time, they're so blinded. It's really sad. For instance, my grandchildren watching cartoons the way they do them now. And I walked in the room and I was like, oh my God, shut that thing off. And they're like, what? You know, they could not see the enemy just right there. And I told them, can't you see? I mean, like, all of the cartoons now have these characters with sharp fangs. They're monsters. And they're trying to be nice so that children accept demons. And then these monsters are doing a lot of gay innuendos, you know, sparkles flying out their butt. There's so much that I see because the Lord shut me off and set me apart and prepared me for this media. So anyways, the point is, now that I'm, you know, coming out doing all this stuff, the Lord has partnered me with people that do speak the truth, and that basically the remnant, and it's basically the ones that are hidden. You know, and I tell people, if the church was healthy, I mean, in America, we have huge mega churches. But if they were healthy, our country would not be sick. And I'm going to tell you one thing, Martha, that I want you to consider about our country. And this is what the Lord revealed to me, is that through other people, so it wasn't like just me, but what I've gathered from other people, is that, okay, in our country, in the churches. Hello? Oh, he got disconnected. Maybe he'll come back. With him being over there in South America, I'm sure that happens. So he'll call back in. We'll take a quick little commercial break. All right, Bride. Mega Revival, Making America Godly Again, is hosting a 2017 National Christian March on September 9th. That's right. It is time, Bride, for us to stand up and declare that this is a Christian nation. We are taking our country back from the enemy. We are marching across this land, blowing the shofars, sounding the alarm that the clarion call has been released from heaven, and the bride is coming out. Come on, Bride. Okay, I'm glad to have you back, Pastor Swanson.
Yeah, I my phone cut out there for some reason, but I'm back. Yeah, praise God.
Okay, well, what I was saying is that the churches, you know, if the big ones, the mega ones, were healthy, our church would be healthy. You know, if our church was healthy, our nation would be healthy. So what has happened is this. I wrote about this in my Organic Christianity book, that this seeker-friendly doctrine that has taken over a lot of our Christian networks, is taken over our big churches, you know, that they are going to be, it's going to have a lot to do with the end-time persecution to the remnant. Because we see it now, like I said, if we try to mention sin, you're judging, you're terrible, you're this, you're that, you know, you're a doomsday or whatnot. So what happened is the church has quit giving out in the community. We quit loving our neighbor. We quit doing outreach. We quit helping other people. See, used to here, we would take care of our neighbors, you know. And if somebody had a baby, we'd bring them food and help them and whatnot. So anyways, we quit that, and the churches have become so reclusive to where you serve me. I'm the pastor. Don't worry about your vision. I don't want you leaving my church. I want you serving me the rest of your entire life type of deal. Okay, so the community's out here, and the community's been hurt by the church. So the community has latched on to the government like the beast. Feed me, clothe me, take care of me. I need you. Take care of me. Okay, well, it's where it should be God. So President Trump's come in, and he is literally cutting that off, that umbilical cord. So the people out here that are relying on that for provision and their livelihood are screaming. And they're like, no, you know. And so the church, God wants the church to repent. This is why the Lord revealed to me that the judgment's coming to the house of the Lord. We need to repent so that we can take the harvest back in. The Lord wants the harvest to be seeking the Lord as their provision and their God instead of the beast, the government. So that's what the Lord has revealed to me. So the church.
That's good. That's really good, Jim.
Oh, thank you. As the President Trump got voted in, you know, the Christians are the ones that put him in, 85%. Well, I heard Trump myself 4 days before the election. He was on CBN, and he was telling the Christians, him and Melania, he said, listen, I cannot win this thing without you. I'm asking you Christians to help me. He said, I know I need at least 80% or something. Well, so when the election, when it happened, it was exactly the number that he needed. And so the Christians were rejoicing, like, oh my gosh. First of all, we were shocked that it happened. And so we was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. We got a stay of execution. Okay, that's the way we feel. So, but it's brought a great divide in our country of races. A great divide. So we're praying, if you don't mind, y'all's groups, praying for us that we would be healed, our tribes would be healed here. You know, so since he got in office, I think the Christians have got, you know, kind of scared because the other side is screaming so loud. And so with me doing with me doing this march, it's been not hardly anybody has jumped aboard. It's like everybody's too afraid to come out. And so I told the government when I had a meeting with them last week, which was the Secret Service and the Homeland Security, they said, well, how many people you think could come to declare that this is a Christian nation? You know, I told them, I don't know how many. Honestly, I'm not getting a good response because people are scared for one thing. But I told the Lord told me Gideon's army of 300. If I can get 300 solid intercessors that are not afraid of the gospel, not ashamed, that are not afraid to march, that would be the dream come true. You know, type of deal.
Yeah, amen. Praise God. Well, I'm definitely going to be praying for you, June. And I don't know if I can be a part of that, but if God, you know, shows me to be a part of that, I will definitely, you know, let you know, and I'd like to be part of what you're doing. But this is really, really awesome. And, you know, we talked a little bit about
Pastor
you know,
Marvin,
about numbers. It's not about the numbers.
Yes, that's right.
Yep, it's about our obedience.
Right.
And that's what God is looking for. And we know, you know, Gideon's 300, it wasn't about the numbers there. It was about what God can do through those that are committed. So, June, I really think that what you're doing is really awesome. Really awesome.
Well, I want to tell you this, Pastor Marvin. If somehow you can get there, we'd love to give you 10 minutes. There's certain preachers that are preaching truth, that I am giving them 10 minutes apiece. And then we've got a group of a women's conference in the state of Tennessee that will be live streaming mm-hmm. in from the conference, because Tennessee is a volunteer state, and part of the mission of this march is to encourage the church to get back out in their community. Start loving your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's get back to the Great Commission. So being that they're the volunteer state, they're going to speak a word into this march. Well, as another thing is, as I've interviewed Americans and did, you know, put together this documentary, we have this stage right behind the White House, right next to the National Monument. And we will literally show this video where I ask people, and I'm about to ask you this, if you could talk to Americans about what God is doing in our country, what would you say? And then if you could talk to our president, what would you say? And so these voices of real Americans will be spoken through the big screen into the White House. It's just so amazing. So let me ask you this. If you could talk to Americans, whether it's a word of encouragement or warning or whatever, what would you say right now?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is wake up. And I really believe that Americans are starting to wake up. And if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 11, it says that we should not be partakers of the evil, but rather expose them. And then a couple of verses later, it says, arise, wake, awake, arise from the dead, O sleeper. And this is the word that God's really been speaking to me. And this is what I would speak to the American people, is wake up, get out of that place of spiritual lethargy and apathy, and get back into the Word of God. Get a passion for the Word of God. We have a commander-in-chief. His name is Jesus, the commander-in-chief of the Lord's army. And he wants to set our hearts on fire. That's what he wants to do. And so I would say get a passion for the Word of God. Get back into the Word of God. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit start to touch you and change you and transform you and give you boldness to rise up to the occasion. And this is what I would say, and this is what I do say, June. And you know what? I know that that is happening. I know that, but you have to keep fanning the flames. You just have to keep fanning the flames. And there's other people that still haven't caught the fire, and we need to reach them. They need to catch the fire of God and wake up, rise up, and speak up, and take action as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. And then, you know, the President of the United States, if I could speak to him, I would just say, brother, you're doing a great job. You're doing what you said you were going to do. And I commend you to continue to do what he's doing, continue it to be a man of prayer, surround himself with others who are like-minded, that are men of prayer, that love their nation, that love the people that have called them to serve, and that they be true servants of the Most High God. And I really believe, you know, this is what Donald Trump, I believe he's a servant. He's a servant of God.
Yeah.
He really does want to bless his nation. And so I would speak words like that to him, a words of encouragement, just to keep on plowing ahead, no matter what the opposition is. Greater is he that is in you than all the demons of hell that come against you. So praise God.
Come on, now tell him why you're talking to him. What country are you from, and where are you at now?
Where am I at now?
Tell President Trump where you're from.
I'm from Canada, and you know, I was thinking before I made the call here, I've been thinking the last couple of days. I think just by watching some of the news, I'm probably more American than some Americans are. And the reason for that is because God's given me a heart for America. I love the United States of America. I love America. And God put that love in there. That's his love. God loves America. He loves the people of America. And he wants to bring it back on that righteous foundation that it was founded on all those many years ago by the founding fathers. And I believe that he has called a man called Donald Trump to do that. But we also have a very, very important part, and that's to pray for him, to encourage him, and to stand with him. Because I believe that our part is probably every bit as important, because we know that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And that's our job as the Church of the Redeemed. We need to pray. And so this is what I see happening. And praise God, June. Good things are happening.
Well, let me ask you
I'm in Colombia now. I'm in, like, I live in Colombia, South America now. But like I said, I have a heart for America. And so it doesn't really matter where you live geographically. That's really not that important. It's the location of our heart. And that's what God can use. So.
Now, listen, Pastor, before I go into prayer and everything, I would like to ask you, like, as far as the planet, okay, you spoke into America. You talked a little bit about the end of time. But what, I mean, talking about the Bride of Christ as a whole and the planet, what do you think is the next thing to happen prophetically?
Prophetically?
Yes, sir.
The, are, you mean concerning the Bride of Christ?
Yes.
Or just in general? Like, you know, I believe that what's happening right now is basically what we've been talking about, June. Is that Jesus loves his bride. He loves her. And he's preparing her. He's equipping her. And so that when Jesus comes, he's coming for a bride, a spotless bride, one that's awake. You know, the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. And he's coming for those that have their lamps lit. You know, they're on fire for God, that have a passion for the Word of God. I really believe that's what God is doing prophetically. He's waking up his church and filling us with the Holy Spirit. You know, like the Apostle Paul said, don't be filled with that wine, you know, that you buy at the liquor store, but be filled with the wine of the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous thing, and that's what Jesus is looking for, is to reignite that fire, that first love, you know, that many of us had, and we've had in the past, and God is reigniting that fire. And he's refiring the engines, the spiritual engines, and calling for his bride to rise up. Wake up, rise up, speak up, and be the bride of Christ. Be that mighty army of God. And he is the chief commanding officer. He's going to give us directions. If we will be Mary before we're Martha, that's the big thing. That I call it the Mary-Martha principle. And Jesus said about Mary, she has chosen that good part that cannot be taken away. And it wasn't that what Martha was doing was bad or was evil. Really, the message there, I believe, be a Mary before you're Martha. In other words, devotion before action. And if we'll take that time and spend at the feet of Jesus on a daily basis and receive that inspiration, that instruction from our commanding chief officer, then we can rise up and we can be a Martha and we can be fruitful and we can be successful in things that God has called us to do. And then everything we do is an act of worship. Whether we're sitting at the feet of Jesus and being instructed, or we're being a Martha and following the instructions, it all becomes an act of worship. And I believe this is what God is doing prophetically in our day right now. And I'm speaking for myself right now. I already believe this is what God is doing with me, and this is what he's wanting to do. So.
Well, I tell you what, sir, I really appreciate you being on here now. I have tweeted several of the powerful words that you released today. I see that you have a Twitter account. Listen, Bride, if you can look at his Twitter account, which is Swanson Marvin, you'll be able to keep up with him on there. But I did some powerful tweets that you did, and also on Twitter, I posted your YouTube page so people can check out your teaching and connect with you there. So listen, Bride, listen, I do encourage you, all of you listening across the world, please hear my heart on this. Do not follow someone blindly. I don't care if they have been your pastor for 50 years. This is not the hour to do that. You must weigh everything with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because there are pastors that are going off the cliff, and there are hordes of people behind them just following them, not questioning anything they're doing. You know, they're allowing all this stuff to happen up on the altars that is muddying and tainting the altars of God. And I plead with you, church, to please ask the Holy Spirit to take the scales off your eyes so you can keep yourself pure and keep yourself flowing in the crystal clear waters from the throne. So that, because the Bible says, Pastor, that it, even the very elect may be deceived in this last hour here.
Uh-huh.
And we're literally, I mean, don't you see the separation of the wheat and tares today?
Amen. Amen.
You
Amen.
Know?
Good word. Good word, June. Good word. Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yes. Yes, very good, sir. Now, Pastor, we ask that the bride partner with us in prayer to pray for all of our guests, because we believe that God has divinely placed you on this program because you're at the brink of promotion. So we ask the bride to partner with heaven in prayer to seal what God is about to do in your life. So let's all bow our heads, bride. Lord, we just come to you today.
Amen.
Lord, we first of all just give you place, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for Marvin's life. Lord, what you have done in this man that's from Western Canada, that was raised on a farm, Lord, who was able to have understandings of the earth and how to work and how to operate and, you know, basic principles, that was able to be elevated when you advanced him into the kingdom. And now he's able to teach the bride, teach the church with the basic foundations that he had as a child of working on the farm and the ethics and things that he was raised up in, Lord. I mean, really, Lord, only you know what this man has been through. Only you know all of the things that he's been through in his life. So, Lord, we just thank you for bringing him through. We thank you, Lord, that he's still alive. We thank you for the choice that he made to serve you, and the choice that he made to follow after you in mission. And that he went over to South America, Lord, and he chose to serve you over there. And, Lord, we thank you for giving him knowledge on how to do these YouTube videos. That is what connected him in America. I mean, Lord, it's just amazing how you can put all the pieces divinely fit together. And, Lord, we just hold up his arms right now in the Spirit, Lord, and we just speak blessings over him. We plead the blood of Jesus over him from the top of his head to the soles of his strength. Lord, give him strength in his body, Lord. Heal his back, Lord. Strengthen his arms, Lord. Increase his mind, his understanding, his retention, his revelatory knowledge of the Word of God, Lord. We pray for increase in the downloads from heaven, Lord, the revelation from heaven, the prophetic, I call them prophetic downloads to him, Lord. Increase and expand his territories, Lord. Give him better equipment, the equipment that he needs to do these broadcasts. And whatever this vision is, Lord, that you have given him, this media to teach, he can reach more people through media, Lord. So grant it unto him, Lord. Give him the tools. Give him the equipment. Give him the money. Give him intercessors. Give him people that can run this thing, people that can help do the equipment and do all the extra stuff that he needs, Lord. Give him the finances.
Yes, Lord.
Give him the money he needs to do his mission, Lord. We speak success. We want success. We want him to grow and flourish and prosper, to reach the harvest that you have lined up for him, Lord, his harvest. And we pray,
Lord,
God, that you send people to him to partner with him, Lord, for his heart. He has a heart of unity, Lord. And I pray that you partner all these people together, Lord, for the bigger picture. And, Lord, we thank you that it is so much bigger than what we can imagine. This thing that me and him are a part of, where you divinely put us together, in a year from now, we're probably going to be sitting together in Washington, D.C. at a panel or something. You know, like, I mean, we have no idea, you know, where you're really going with this, Lord. But it is so beautiful that we have you to trust in, and that we have a relationship with you, knowing that you're the creator of all things, you are in control, and that you give us the inside scoop of really what's going on out here. So we really appreciate, Lord. And, Lord, I pray for Marvin's wife. Lord, I pray you bless that woman. Bless her for helping him to be successful. Bless her for being,
Lord,
by his side. And, Lord, I pray that as a woman, that you give her all these little special things that women like. And, Lord, with her being a missionary's wife, the sacrifices that she's made, the things that she's given up, the family that she's given up, the things, Lord, that she has laid before the altar, only you know all that stuff, Lord. I ask you, God, to give her all these little small things to help her and to make her life pleasant where she's at, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless her home. And everything that they put their hands to, we call it blessed. Everywhere their feet go, we call it blessed. We pray, too, about the spiritual warfare that's going on in their region. Now, of course, I don't have authority over them, but I can come in agreement with what he's praying for in that region right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
I partner with him. Come on now. All the demons and principalities and the powers of the air that are working against the kingdom of God there, where for the kingdom of God to be advanced, has to come down in Jesus' name. We speak and declare that the kingdom of God will be advanced and grow in that region, and that his mission shall be accomplished in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we thank you for great favor to him and his ministry, favor with the government, favor with the community, favor with other ministers, Lord. And I pray to God for discernment of spirits for my brother, discernment of spirits when it comes to these other lying devils that try to come along and try to bring confusion in Jesus' name. Now, brother, I would love it if you would please pray for my ministry with us doing this march in a month. And then if you would pray for the bride.
Definitely. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God, that we are covered
in
the blood of Jesus.
Yes,
we've been
Lord.
Born again. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that, Father, you've given us authority over principalities and powers of hell and of darkness. Father, I lift up my sister June and her ministry, her communications ministry,
Lord.
Radio and television and the internet, and all these different avenues that you've given her. And, Father, we pray the blood of Jesus over everything that she is, everything she represents, her ministry, that Satan has no power, he has no authority, he has no dominion over anything that you have called and appointed her to do, that she has been anointed by the Holy Spirit, that June did not choose you, but you chose her, and you appointed her, you anointed her to bring forth much fruit, and fruit that remains, that whatever she asks in your name to the Father, you will grant her that. Father, we ask right now, I'm asking for expansion and multiplication in my spirit. I see expansion, I see abundance and multiplication. And Father God, that you are expanding her territory, the prayer of Jabez. You are expanding her territory. You're giving her favor, Father, not only in the United States, but in nations. Favor in the nations. That, Father God, this time of testing, this time of pruning and purifying is coming to a close. And that, Father, you are about to bring her forth in a very dynamic way, in a very dynamic style. Father, to burst upon the scene with the message of Christ and the anointing that you have released to her, in her, and through her to be released to the nations. Father God, calling the nations to repentance through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, faith in the finished work of the cross, faith in the one who hung upon the cross. And so, Father, I thank you for her. I pray for your protection to be upon her, that Satan cannot undermine, he cannot steal, kill, or destroy. But, Father, the abundance that you have set apart for her, it is going to be realized. It will come to pass. And, Father, the prophetic dreams and visions that you have given her over the years, that they will come to pass. They have not died on the altar. They are there. They are alive and well, and they will come to pass in God's prophetic calendar according to his time schedule in the mighty name of Jesus. And then, Father, I pray for all those that are listening to this program right now, wherever they are in the world. We are one. We are one body, washed in the blood of Jesus, regardless of gender, skin color, Lord, nationality, whatever, Father. We are one new man in Christ Jesus, Jew and Gentile, all because of the blood of Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you. I thank you for every person. I thank you for every family, every community, every church member. I thank you for every nation that's represented on this call right now. And, Father, we pray for the nations. We know, oh God, that it's your will that none would perish, that you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked or the death of nations that have turned their back on you, but you're calling them to repentance. And, Father, those that are on this call now, I pray, Father, you'll use every man, woman, and child that's on this call to be a catalyst for revival, for restoration, and being restored in a right relationship with the Father, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for a spiritual baptism in the Holy Spirit, an anointing of the Holy Spirit to go out today, Father, and to baptize everyone in the Holy Spirit with fire, Father God, and to set us ablaze for the things of God, a heart for God, for the Word of God, and to hear the voice of God, discern your voice, and like Nehemiah, rise up and do something about it. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Marvin, I tell you what. Praise God. I cannot wait for us to get together and do a broadcast together on video.
Amen. Amen. June, I'll tell you what. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be praying for you. And you know what? If God can make a way for us to maybe get together for further ministry, I'm available. I'll just tell you right now. I'm available.
Yes.
I'm always available to do God's work. And if we can do some things together, praise God is all I got to say. Amen.
Yes, I'm serious. I'm all about it because I would love, seriously, to put together a truth conference. I don't even know how to explain it, but I would love to, all these people that God is connecting me with that I know speaks the truth. I pray, Lord, that you work it out for us to be able to do a conference that would be the truth. Because, you know, it's just such a small voice right now. I don't know how to explain it, but yes, Lord, we know you have a plan. Praise today also, Lord, for our President Trump. Lord, we are so thankful. We thank you, Lord, protecting him, helping him, Lord, to fulfill his mission, what you have called him to do. Lord, we want him to be successful as well. And, Lord, look on this call, Lord. We have two different nations that are in agreement over this man. And we just touch together in agreement, the power of agreement, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise, God. And bless Canada, too, Lord. Bless that country. Help them, Lord, to not fall off their cliff, Lord. Help them to come back to their roots. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yep.
All right, brother, you have a blessed day today. God bless you.
Thank you very much, and God bless you, June, and God bless everybody that's part of your ministry. God bless, and may we stay connected. Amen.
Wait a minute, Marvin. Marvin, I forgot to ask you to tell the people, how can they find out more about you?
Well, the best way to do is just get in contact with me on Facebook or YouTube, and then we can connect further if somebody's interested in talking to me further or whatever. And then we can just make contact that way, I think is the best way to do it. I do have a phone number here, but I think it's probably easier to reach me through
Facebook
the other media.
Is...
No, yeah, I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, Facebook is really, Facebook is definitely such a blessing for this. You know it?
Yeah. Amen. It's easy to get on. It doesn't cost anything. So.
Exactly. All right, sir. Well, you have a good day today. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you very much, June. Thanks for having me on. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.